Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I've got this story that pretty much everyone on Earth sent to me, so I'm not sure who to begin thanking for it. But thank you, everyone, for sending it to me. But big news out of Wisconsin. In fact, one of my friends jokingly said, Steve, Wisconsin's where I got to go to get beer. So Wisconsin Supreme Court strikes down Wisconsin's stay-at-home order that closed businesses to limit the spread of the coronavirus. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but it's been reported widely in many, many different news outlets. Molly Beck and Patrick Marley wrote this piece, but I like their reporting because they are in Wisconsin, okay? So if I have a story from Michigan, I might use a Michigan news source because I think they're a little bit closer to the story. And these guys, of course, are closer to the story in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down Governor Tony Evers' order shutting down daily life to limit the spread of coronavirus, marking the first time a statewide order of its kind has been knocked down by a court of last resort. So I mentioned before that there have been lawsuits filed in Michigan at the lower court levels, and some of those have been ruled on already. But they will then get appealed and work their way up the system. And they often refer to the highest court in a state as the court of last resort, because if you lose there, all you can do then is go to the U.S. Supreme Court. So this is the first time that one of those types of courts has ruled on this like this. So the state's highest court sided with Republican lawmakers on Wednesday in a decision that curbed the power of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' administration to act unilaterally during a public health emergency. Now, the decision was 4-3. The 7 Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin, it's the same is true in Michigan. The U.S. Supreme Court's got 9, but we have a 4-3 decision. So that means that you've got 4 on one side, you got 3 on the other. It was a close call. The decision was written by 4 of the court's conservatives, Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, and Justices Rebecca Bradley, Daniel Kelly, and Annette Ziegler. The court's 5th conservative justice, Brian Hagedorn, wrote the dissent and was joined by the court's 2 liberals, Ann Walsh Bradley and Rebecca Dallet. And one thing you should know, and it varies from state to state, but in some states, the courts aren't considered partisan, meaning that you don't actually have a Republican running for Supreme Court justice or a Democrat running, but they often do identify that way either in their campaigns, if they're elected, or depending on who appointed them, if they're appointed, you can sometimes figure this stuff out. But these are the opinions of the journalists who cover this, that's how these justices lean. And everyone knows that there have been examples of people who were appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, who everyone thought was going to be a conservative, and they became a liberal, or they thought they'd be a liberal, became a conservative, or all kinds of things have happened. So those aren't cut and dried the way it is when someone runs for Congress and says, I am a proud fill in the blank of your party, and I'm you know, that's what I'm running on. The ruling immediately lifts all restrictions on businesses and gatherings imposed by the administration's order, but keeps in place the closure of schools until the fall. This comes after Evers had already begun lifting some restrictions because the spread of the virus had slowed down. Evers told reporters on Wednesday, Republican legislators convinced 4 members of the Supreme Court to throw the state into chaos. Republicans now own that chaos. Republicans who brought the lawsuit had asked the justices to side with them, but to stay their ruling for about a week so legislators and Evers could work out a new plan to deal with the pandemic. The justices declined to do that and said their ruling now takes effect immediately. So be careful what you ask for. To put any new limits in place, the Democratic governor and Republican-controlled legislature will be forced to work together to deal with the ebbs and flows of the outbreak, something the 2 sides have rarely been able to achieve before. The Evers administration will submit a new plan Thursday, even though Republicans had asked them to do so sooner. Republicans have yet to offer one of their own. So with no policies in place, bars, restaurants, and concert halls are allowed to reopen unless local officials implement their own restrictions, which raises the prospect of a patchwork of policies with rules varying significantly from one county to the next, and theoretically, I'd guess, even from one municipality to the next. And then what do you have? The court issued its decision a month after Kelly lost his seat on the court. He will be replaced in August by Dane County Circuit Judge Jill Karofsky, who's a liberal who beat him by 10 points in the April 7th election. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald of Juneau, who brought the lawsuit with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester, said in an interview that it was Evers who set the table for chaos by lifting restrictions on retail businesses this week instead of following his own reopening plan that required benchmarks to be met. The public started to become skeptical, he said. Less than an hour after the ruling was released, the Tavern League of Wisconsin told its members they could greet customers again in their bars and urge them to adopt safety guidelines. While much of the state can now open up, the court system overseen by the justices will not, for the time being, because the courts have suspended jury trials and in-person court hearings because of the dangers of COVID-19. And they held arguments over the stay-at-home order virtually to make sure they stayed away from others. So the hearing on this was conducted virtually, and they ruled, in essence, that it wasn't necessary to do that. Lawmakers are urging common sense and personal responsibility. The GOP lawmakers who brought the lawsuit have said the legal challenge was necessary to get a seat at the table where Evers and state health officials make decisions about how to respond to the outbreak, which in Wisconsin has killed over 400 people to date. The ruling was issued a day after a poll showed that the public trusts the governor more than it trusts the legislature on how to handle the outbreak. Evers has maintained his administration needs to be nimble and is relying on health experts to guide his actions. He has said the procedure that the lawmakers successfully sought will mean the state won't be able to act quickly. In the majority opinion, Roggensack determined that Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm should have issued regulations through a process known as rulemaking, which gives lawmakers veto power over agency policies. Without legislative review, an unelected official could create law applicable to all people during the course of COVID-19 and subject people to imprisonment when they disobeyed her order, the majority wrote. However, other justices saw that differently. This decision will undoubtedly go down as one of the most blatant examples of judicial activism in this court's history, and it will be Wisconsinites who pay the price, Dallet wrote in the dissent. Hagedorn, who worked as chief legal counsel for former GOP Governor Scott Walker, wrote in another dissent that the court should not be a referee between the warring parties controlling the other two branches of the state government. And that's one of the issues that arises as a philosophical issue in all of these situations. You've got three branches of government. You've got the executive, which in the federal level is the president. You've got Congress, and you've got the courts, okay, legislature, judicial. Most states have got a similar setup where they've got an executive, which is a governor, and they've got a legislature or an assembly or some group of people who vote on stuff. And then they've got the court system. And most states have a constitution that sets that up very, very similar to the federal constitution. And so what happens is, in a situation like this, you've got one branch of the government fighting with another branch of the government. And the question then becomes, if you take it to the court and ask the court to rule on that, you're simply asking one branch of the government to pick a winner between the other two. And that does often happen. But the question is, does your constitution say that that happens on all questions or some questions? Because the interesting thing is that here, in the Wisconsin case, the lawsuit was brought by the legislature. Some members of the legislature brought this suit and said, you know, we want this relief. In Michigan and in some other states, there have been lawsuits by the legislature, but there have also been lawsuits by individuals, that is, voters, people, we the people, right? So somebody who owns a business or somebody who's affected by the shutdown because they can't work or somebody who's been affected by it goes, hey, look, I've got standing to challenge that order. And they challenge it. So in that case, the court is not being asked to pick a winner between branches of the government. They're being asked to simply look at the ruling or the executive order by the governor, and they're asked, does that executive order follow the law? And somebody's asking, it's a person asking, it's a taxpayer, it's a voter, it's a citizen, whatever you want to call it. The point is, they're all those things. In a Venn diagram, it's a big overlap. And so the point is that the question's a little different if it's being asked by a person versus being by a member of the legislature. Now, I understand that members of the legislature are people, but they weren't bringing the action in their individual capacity saying, hey, look, we're just people. They were actually saying, we as members of the legislature think that we got cut out of this process and we therefore want the court to order the governor to let us into the process. And I'm not saying that that's a bad question. I'm merely pointing out the difference between the two questions. Hagedorn, who worked as chief legal counsel, said, we are a court of law. We are not here to do freewheeling constitutional theory. We are not here to step in and referee every intractable political stalemate. In striking down most of the order, this court has strayed from its charge and turned this case into something quite different than the case brought to us. To make matters worse, it has failed to provide almost any guidance for what the relevant laws mean and how our state is to govern through this crisis moving forward. The legislature may have buyer's remorse for the breadth of discretion it just gave to the Department of Health Services, but those are the laws it drafted. We must read them faithfully whether we like them or not, he said. And I've talked about this before, that the executive orders that are drafted by the governors, so for instance, Michigan's executive order, I've got two of them right here, the white one is one, the blue one's another, those come into existence because there's a state law that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor, two of them that address the emergency powers of the governor. And people who keep saying the executive orders of the governor aren't law, they are, because the law says they're law. Okay, if you don't like that law, you go back to the legislature and guys, fix that law. Okay, so at the heart of the lawsuit in Wisconsin was a state law governing communicable diseases that says that the Department of Health Services may close schools and forbid public gatherings in schools, churches, and other places to control outbreaks and epidemics. And it gives it the power to authorize and implement all emergency measures necessary to control communicable diseases. So this is very different in Wisconsin than what happens here in Michigan. But the majority found that Palm also had to follow another state law that requires regulations to be submitted to a legislative committee that can then block them. The first laws providing the emergency powers to government officials were crafted in 1887, about 30 years before the 1918 flu pandemic that epidemiologists have said is similar to this year's coronavirus outbreak. In 1981, amid the HIV and AIDS epidemic, the state legislature gave the power to DHS to issue orders in addition to implementing policy through rulemaking. Justice Rebecca Bradley criticized Hagedorn, typically one of her allies, writing that his argument contains no constitutional analysis whatsoever, affirmatively rejects the Constitution, and subjugates liberty. The majority concluded that Evers has broader powers during emergencies, but stressed that those powers have limits. If a forest fire breaks out, there's no time for debate and action is needed. The governor could declare an emergency and respond accordingly. But in the case of a pandemic which lasts month after month, the governor cannot rely on emergency powers indefinitely, Roggensack wrote for the majority. And makes me wonder if she's addressing the fact that at the beginning of this, no one knew how long it was going to last. We know how forest fires go. We don't know how coronavirus goes. State Senator Dan Fayen of Fond du Lac contended in a statement that state officials would develop a reopening plan soon, and in the meantime, citizens should exercise good old-fashioned common sense and personal responsibility. I love the people of Wisconsin, and I love the people of Michigan. And I can just tell you right now that asking people to exercise good old-fashioned common sense and personal responsibility, dare to dream, my friends. Fitzgerald said he wants to remain focused on widespread testing and contact tracing to get a good picture of where the virus is spreading, but he did not say he wanted new restrictions. Now we've moved beyond plans to reopen to open, he said. We've moved from one cabinet member making these decisions for the entire state of Wisconsin to the legislature working with another branch of government and the individual making these decisions on their own. Melissa Baldoff, a spokeswoman for Evers, said in a tweet that Fitzgerald's desire for testing and tracing sounds an awful lot like they want the plan we had, they sued us over, and was just gutted by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Michael Mastelman, an attorney who at times has represented Evers, said the justices had legislated from the bench to make up their own laws to satisfy political ends. This action will inevitably lead to more sickness and more death, he said in a text message. The court will have blood on their hands, and the people of Wisconsin will not forget. Wisconsin was one of 43 states to be locked down by its governor, and as of Wednesday, it was one of 11 with restrictions still in place. Some other facts here. More than 500,000 people have filed for unemployment benefits after Evers ordered the closure of businesses providing what he's defined as non-essential, such as bars, hair salons, and tattoo parlors. But the orders also have broad support from the public. A poll released Tuesday by Marquette University Law School showed almost 70% of voters believed that Evers' actions were appropriate, though that support had decreased since March when more than 80% supported the restrictions. And as you might guess, support and opposition has largely fallen along partisan lines. So, um, During the Wisconsin Supreme Court session, Justice Patience Rogensack blamed the COVID-19 outbreak in Brown County coming from the meatpacking plant and not regular folks. So, Wisconsin Supreme Court has just struck down their closure orders. And it sounds like the process they had in Wisconsin is very different than what they had, at least here in Michigan. And again, this will vary from state to state. Because I have a lot of people from out of state who watch my channel. I understand it, and I welcome you. You're from out of the country who watch my channel. I welcome you as well. And so people ask, what's the legality of the orders? And I don't have time to go and check every single state. But it looks to me like Wisconsin's system is very different from Michigan's. Michigan has two laws on its books that very specifically say that if there's an emergency declared by the governor can then issue orders in response to the emergency, and those orders have the force of law. Boom. Now, that is being litigated right now. It's going to work its way up. It'll get to the Michigan Supreme Court. We'll see what happens when it gets there. But as of right now, the courts that have reviewed it have said it's fine. Okay? So that's what's happening here in Michigan. But in Wisconsin, they've been struck down. Now, unfortunately, with the Supreme Court not saying what they want done, who knows what's going to happen next? So somebody in that department that has the right to make the rules, I guess they've got to sit down very quickly and start writing some rules. And then they got to submit the rules to the legislature, and the legislature can then review them. And the problem, of course, is that's the process that if it moves at legislative speed, it's going to take forever. We know that. So hopefully they'll decide that there's a faster way to fast track this. Maybe have people from the department that write the rules meet with members of both parties of both houses and get together and go, look, here's what we need to do. It needs to get done now. Okay? Can we at least agree on what needs to get done and how we're going to do it? Can we agree on that? And then get that done and move. Because the whole point behind having a process for emergency responses is that you may need to do things faster. And so if the way it's being done was wrong, you still got to see there's a fast way to do it. And the fast way to do it would be, like I said, get representatives from the parties, from both houses, to meet in a smaller group and say, look, here's what we're going to do. Let's get this done and get it done now. And we don't have time. You know, look at how long it takes the government to decide on a budget. You know, look how long it takes to decide on almost anything. Stuff gets revised, riders get tacked on, gets amended, gets kicked back for rewriting, goes to a committee, stalls in committee. You don't have time for that right now. And unfortunately, this is one of those situations where we can't actually say for certainty what's going to happen down the road. We can't, because we're in uncharted territory here. So 5 years from now, there will be books written about this. And what just happened in Wisconsin is going to be a chapter in one of those books. And it's either going to be that this ruling happened and all chaos broke loose and people died, or this ruling happened and the state government got together and figured out how to govern in a way that made sense. Or who knows? There are all kinds of things can happen. All kinds of, and so right now, and you know, right now it's an inflection point, as we call it. Okay. And where it goes from here, who knows? But it's an extremely important point. So that's what's happening in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin right now, all bets are off. Okay. We'll see how long that lasts. But the other big question, and they mentioned it before, I'll mention it again, is that the municipalities and the counties apparently could still step in and do their own patchwork, you know, set of rules. So that can happen also. So there you go. That's what happened in Wisconsin. As always, questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. If you are going to try cross-country running, start with a small country.